It's recording.
It's recording. Okay. Welcome, Zoti, to the Mommy and Money podcast show. And it's such a pleasure to have you here. I know you are a serious entrepreneur, investor, and a really true world global citizen. I saw you living in Europe, traveled to U.S., studying Australia, and actually, I also went to Australia for master's degrees. So we have something in common. Yeah. And why not just give a little bit intro about yourself to our audience, and then we go from there.
First of all, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. So a little bit about me and my basically, I'm coming from a post-communist country, from past Czechoslovakia, now Czech and Slovak Republic. My dad always been in a leadership of businesses and built I would say one of the country's best agriculture business among other businesses. And I was the one who started to explore the world. And in 98, first I went to Australia to study English, as I was always been studying German. And then 2001, I returned and I finished university in Sydney as well. So after I finished in Slovakia, my university degree, then I finished one in Australia, and I was still hungry to learn. So I started to go to seminars. I was a seminar junkie and I wanted to learn a lot about stock market and sales and properties. And while I was studying what is set up for first business, which was a student agency, which we grew to be seven offices in four countries and then business partner and then sold the European division and only kept the Australian office. And eventually, actually, we turned it into an accommodation agency. Many of the clients have been complaining that, the accommodation is too far, or it's not clean, or it's too many people, not maintained well. So we thought first that we set up one or two apartments. Clients will be happy. We've got extra income. At least it's all in-house. And then it turned it into one of the largest shared accommodation agencies in Sydney, Australia. However, pandemic came and took the better of us, and we are one of the very few who actually stayed alive. So we managed to save the agency, and now we're striving back again. And in meantime, when I moved back with family, then so I'm not gonna tell you all the details when the kids were born and so forth, but they were born in Australia. I actually worked with one of my early mentors. Who I learned quite a lot. His name is Roy McDonald. He's still one of the entrepreneurs who's practicing and going around and teaching people. So with my now wife, learned a lot from him, traveled with him a lot, and we applied many of the things what we learned into the businesses. Us after the communism failed in 89, my dad also started to branch out into other businesses. So we had he was also building a construction business, meat factory, bakery, import until they started to focus really just on the agriculture. Came back and already had experience from overseas and built a couple of businesses. Some of them successful, some of them unsuccessful. We had a business which was basically very much the same what Groupon did. We just been called Dupont. That ended up, unfortunately, we had to close it down after a while. We went a little bit to be too greedy and overshoot the market with saying we could have sold out. We had a buyer for the guys then that this could go a lot bigger. And eventually, most of the business ended up failing. Only a few strong survived, and that I had no would have brought in investors and mentors to help us through the process. But I learned a lot, and that's what I applied into my future businesses. Then, I've tried network marketing, Nordbooking, you name it. But my child really in Australia was the agency, the share. And real estate business. And then in Slovakia itself, apart from the agriculture, Now we built one of the largest Toyota Lexus dealerships. Size-wise, is one of the largest. Then we operate a chain of coffee shops. Got two small, a bottle and cigar shop.
Wow.
Then we into energy, wind energy and solar energy. That's the new venture what we are into at the moment. So it's just a little bit difficult business to get permission to connect. And along the way, one thing led to another. So we ended up being now altogether in about 13 industries and about 40 businesses.
Wow.
And just like you mentioned, I'll do invest into US, Canada, Australia in various ventures. So there's the private equity part.
Yep.
You said when it comes to the family, how you govern this and how you make this process and the whole structuring the way that actually you can pass it on to the next generation to come. So that's actually the stage where I am right now, where we've got a lot of businesses, a lot of structuring, and we need to put it together in a new shape because it wasn't all planned. As I said, one thing led to another, and that's how we built and bought the businesses. And right now, we're actually in an acquisition to buy agriculture company with a milk factory and so forth. So that's a new venture, because we haven't done, for example, milk and cows and milk factory now for over 10, 15 years. Maybe used to have in all business, but then business dynamics for the industry changed. So we changed our attitude. That's why we are so successful, because with a minimum amount of people, we can get a lot more things done than most of our competitors.
Wow.
So probably that's the basic of my story. And we keep
Wonderful.
growing, but it's a now just one more sentence to ask questions. For me, it's very important now that I surround myself with great generals and captains, who are building teams and who are further building my businesses.
Wow.
Because even Superman has its limits.
Wow, such a wonderful story. And like you got your family, and you are in many different business. Like, how you decide which opportunity to pursue? Like, I saw some family or some people, they focus on like one area, then they go deep. Say you, agriculture, you are talking about by like a milk, a cow, or animal related, instead of right now in you mentioned in
Yeah,
the coffee
past and properties
shop.
and construction and development.
Seems like everywhere. Like I'm a generalist. Like I do investment also. I start with a venture like a VC. So I did do a lot of VC different deal. Then I went to crypto mining. Also, people say, oh, it seems there's no synergy between your business. Like how you decide which business to go, and how you normally answer that people, oh, you don't have a certain expertise in a certain area, and then they may not
Yeah,
want
that's
to deal with you.
a great question. And the answer is either I know the industry, it, or I know someone who is and I can trust.
I see.
That's the only way when I'm going into an industry. So I don't have to be the best in that industry. Awesome, as I have one, who can be the lead. Like if I tell the Toyota Lexus dealership, we build it, the whole business around our director, who's also partner in the business, then he will be the one managing it. So I'm just meetings, numbers, reports, anything you need, how we can help you, any suggestions from us, and off we go. So that's the only way I'm going to the business, or and then I believe in it, and we got no point doing it.
Gotcha. So you really partner with extraordinary entrepreneur and the team to start and grow the business. Like right now, you also mentioned acquiring. So what would be your criteria to acquiring companies, since you already have like such a big large base? And which like Like, do you acquire a platform company first, or you acquire, you already have a platform company, acquire surrounding business, then grow bigger that
Yeah,
business?
or a main agriculture company is the platform company,
Okay.
and we bought off most of our neighbors, and we're buying a lot of land for agriculture. So now we're looking at acquisition, which is not right in our area, but in the neighboring area. So one of the criteria is that it needs to be, within an hour of driving. So I don't want to be traveling 2, 3 hours to any businesses or have a helicopter or whatever.
I
So
see.
it needs to be in an area. Otherwise, I know that the focus and the effectivity will be lost. And I can't, we won't be able to control it. I know many of the companies, they've got, a platform company, and many companies from north to south to west to east. And I can see that even if I take an example, one of the companies was 10 times the size of us, and it couldn't make the profit what we've been making, even they've been 10 times bigger, because the effectivity was lost.
I
So, and they've been
see.
looking at us as a name. So you guys, just look at you, how much profitable you are, and what are we doing? We are pretty much 16 times bigger than you, and we can't make close the profit what you're making. So to me, it needs to be close. We need to be able to effectively manage it. We need to know the business in the area. So right now, this business, what we are, so we negotiated the price, because we calculated how much is it worth to us. There was asking price, then we calculated how much is it worth to us. And then we looked at the management, looked at how healthy the company is. Luckily, this company is very well put together, and it's very healthy with a well-managed team. They just ended up in a situation needed to sell some of their holdings, and we happen to know them, although KPMG called me initially about the deal. And because we know each other very well, that's how we sit down and come to an agreement that we will be the final buyers for the business. Nowadays, for example, number of car dealership companies we already analyzed that we would buy, and always we calculated, how much is the price, what is worth to us, and what is the return, and again, location, the potential, a possibility for development, how old is dealership, do we need any new modern technology to be put in, which we need to again invest and so forth, and already two, for us it wasn't worth that much then to another investor who bought those company. Now actually we met with them, and they said we paid a little bit too much. I said, yep, we think so. We calculated in a different amount, but you overpaid us, but off you go. There's always another deal on the table. So we don't want it just to buy it for the sake of buying an ex to make sense. So now we're actually analyzing a third one, Again, the owner's expectation is quite far from our calculation, but we're trying to put together a deal where it would be a proportional acquisition bit by bit. And we'll see if we can together basically hit the number what he's asking for. So, but we're still in the negotiation process.
Gotcha. Like, right now, I'm also in the process merge acquire some companies. Is that the valuation model is a little bit different in your country? You guys based on the EBITDA multiple, or since you build the business ground up, you also know how much it costs to actually build that business. From our perspective, if we right now we look at the business same size, and however our cost is half of their cost, because in our industry, how the time entering into the industry quite important. Like, do you look at from that angle in the buy instead of build yourself, because you can build it much cheaper.
So, excellent question. So it is a bit country, and it is a bit also in the, for example, in agriculture, I look at also the value of the assets. So that's one what I'm looking at, what I'm buying. And the second, I look at the EBITDA. So it's a combination. So with this business, they had quite a bit of land owning, which we like. Most of the private equities, they don't want the holding, they just want. We are a little bit different, so we rather own it, because then no one with it. So and we believe that is one of the best asset classes to invest in is agricultural land. If
What's
you
the logic behind it?
What's the logic behind it? Because
Yeah, like why you think that's best as a class?
if you are in agriculture, you know, one of the basic commodities what you need for production is the land, and there will be no more land, so it won't be that they will produce more land. It is what it is,
Limited
and
supply, yeah.
limited supply, exactly. And there's a lot of companies and individuals who are buying up. So once it's gone, you'll be just trading. And I see that when you've got a larger holding, not many buyers are for it because it's got a lot of money. And based on the history, you know, our holdings within agriculture, with the land, they doubled and doubled and doubled. So
I
always
see.
got a higher value. And we still, right now, are at a lot lower level than some of the surrounding countries. So eventually, probably we'll have to catch up. Okay, so I can say that we started to buy, you know, anywhere for 20 cents on a dollar the land, you know, and now it's cost a dollar already, you know, so it's five times as much value. And I would say it's actually about seven times as much.
Wow. Okay. I get that part of it, but like also, I heard from some other families, you don't want to be land rich, cash poor, and once you pass along this wealth or this land property to the next generation, they may not want to be in agricultural, or they may not be good at a business running. You know, the cash because to maintain the land need a lot of cash, right? Tax payment, etc. Like how you guys balance this for this
So that
generation wealth.
that's then you need to rent it. Okay, so we've got large portion of our holdings is basically owned, and on the other half we rent it either from individuals or from the state, either state owned or the state is managing it own owners. Okay, so then we rent it, but then we're running the risk right now, you know, that they might take some of the land off you, meaning that I rent it to someone else. Okay, someone else came and asked for or outbid you with the price. And the prices for renting the land really start to go up in the last couple of years. Now a little bit stopped because the economic doesn't work anymore. So that's why we thought that if you've got a strong holding, not much movement. What can come and basically, I would say, put turbulence into the or economic calculation because they're taking some of the land off us.
Oh,
So
that's very
that's
interesting.
gonna first of all, we know it's good capital growth, okay? And I will rent it anyway, and the more stable us. There's the logic behind it. But I do agree that is a lot of money tied up in the land. Okay, but if you invested somewhere else, but you still own it,
Gotcha. It's
you still
about
got the
the,
control.
I see. It's about a balance the liquidity and the value of the land, and you have other
And
business generate
also,
cash.
you know, it is also how we've been brought up. Okay, we've been brought up, you know, whatever you own, it could grow faster, we could be bigger, but a
I
lot
see.
more volatile. And again, it needs to be recession proof, right? So we just did an exercise with Adam at our meeting back in January, February. And we had to come up with new business ideas. And then the best business idea went. We had to build it from the scratch without, he said, I'll strip you all of your money. You know, I'll take everything off you. You need to come in a business into 10 million and so forth. So once we did that, then he said, okay, now there is war, there is COVID, economic, everything in turmoils. Okay, which one of you survives? You know, and during COVID and the current period, because right now in a quite difficult period because of agriculture being in such a situation, Ukraine, and Ukraine is flooding, for example, Europe, especially our country, cheap Ukrainian stock. So, and now whoever is strong will survive, this period. Hua is not, is on wobbly land, and basically they're going out of business. So that's why we're looking at further acquisitions. Like Warren Buffett says, when there's blood on the street, that's when you are buying. So, and right now we're in the buying mode.
Gotcha,
It's
gotcha.
because
But I
we're
got
stronger.
primarily in your country, primarily in your country, or you buying from other, like Australia,
No, but
US,
our country,
your
like
country.
in agriculture, our country, right now, we don't want to go anywhere else.
Gotcha. Because the synergy in your country already a platform
Yeah.
there, and also probably a very different in other country, the market. Yeah.
And also, for example, if I compare it to the car dealership business, again, it's a good time to buy, not good time to buy, not the best time to sell. Because right now, the industry of selling cars is changing to the so-called agency model or online sales. So not so lucrative anymore to purchase big, dealerships. Down the track, yes, because you still need to service, you need to deliver the cars, need some customer service, etc., etc. So right now, Toyota luckily is in a space that is thinking they keeping the old model, they're changing it a little bit, and maybe later on we change to the agency model or online sales. However, it's not the best time basically to sell a car dealership, but probably it's the good time to buy if you want to get bigger market share.
I get that part, but I get how you see the EV market, like taking some market share for those the traditional car market. Do you see that coming to your country, your market?
EV, let's say. I'm not a fan of EVs. I could imagine to have a third or fourth car of mine to be an EV, just run around the city and from short distances and so forth. Some of the people love it, but in the terms of car dealerships, the car dealerships are struggling right now. There was a little bit of a boom, and everybody was talking EV, and it has to be, and it's be going that way, and be supporting it, and you got subsidies, and you got, I don't know, free highway tickets and so forth. But right now, I think that euphoria is gone, and many of the cars and the car dealerships who've been forced, let's put it that way, to have so many EVs, they're suffering and they've got problems to sell them. Luckily, we saw it differently and we went very carefully into this. So we didn't order so many EVs, and we managed to sell them, and we kept only a few if someone is really interested to sell them. But otherwise, we're not keeping much of the EVs right now. Toyota is coming up with more EVs, so probably we will have, and some people would. But right now, even based on statistics, there's a lot more orders going into petrol and diesel cars.
Very interesting. Different market. I see the trend is very different. My own country, China, EV is taking over. Feels like
Yeah,
everybody driving
bit
EV.
especially. BID, yeah.
BYD and
BYD is.
many other brand. A lot of brand I even recognize. There's so many, huge market there. Like there's some
And
con. There's a
that
one.
was. Yeah,
Yeah,
go
I'm
ahead.
sorry. Oh, so just there's a one city, a small city, and they have their local EV factory. Because of that, they actually stopped building the subway because they see it's cheaper for people to own the EV than just building a subway. Everybody driving. They design city in that way. It's quite interesting.
Yeah,
Sorry.
but in cities would make more sense, but a lot more sense it will be when it will be built out to have car sharing. So many of the you see the young generation don't really wanna own anything as such. I rent a car, I get an app, and I use a bike, a laptop, a phone, or whatever. So not necessarily need to have a sense of ownership, Obsolete, get another one, get another one. I believe China is a lot different. There's a lot of people there, and EVs really easy to get around the city, and it's good. And also what is really attractive about them, that they're really cheap compared to other cars.
Oh my God. Below the
So
cost, I would
I think
say.
that's one of the drivers, and that's causing a bit of a problem in the Europe. for the manufacturers and the car sales, you know, that the cheap EV Chinese cars, you know, basically conquering the market. But now they want to put more fees on sanctions and support. But then most likely BYD and maybe other Chinese EV manufacturers come and build the factories here, so they don't need to import them anymore, and we'll be still selling them. But again, in China, you can produce cheaper because there are no so strict regulations, and the labor is a lot cheaper because there are a lot more people, you know, they're working in the factories. So produce cars a lot cheaper than anybody, let's say, in Europe.
Yeah, it's a huge competition right now, and also, of course, the export activities have a lot of how to say it, obstacles right now, right? As you know, so it's quite a challenge for them to actually making money. That's why it's so cheap. Like actually, I do see some cars sell below cost. They just want to get rid of the inventory and boosting the sales, and so they can make money in the stock market. That's how I see it. Yeah, we are towards the end of the interview, and thank you very much to be here, and it's such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much as well. Pleasure to be.